you and welcome to our Faith, Family, and Freedom program. This is Andrew Phipps, and I want to just be very adamant about saying welcome. Thank you for joining us here today. Without you, these kinds of programs would not be of any benefit, but you have been a great encouragement and a support, and for that we're grateful. I think today's program is so full that I'm just going to take very limited time to make whatever commentaries we feel appropriate, but we're trying to get folks to stand in these last days, in these days of uncertainty, days of division, days of depression, days of dysfunctional situations, and people that are so divided, we hope today's program will be one that you can, from which you can get some help.
Genesis chapter 49 and verses 1 and 2 is where we'll find our place of reading this morning. And the Bible here says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father." Amen. I want to preach this morning on this thought: faith over circumstance. Faith over circumstance. And as we read through the Bible, and of course we're in the book of Genesis, this book of beginnings, this book of origins, it's in the book of Genesis that we first read about God giving Palestine to Abraham and to his seed. It's where we first read about it there in Genesis chapter number 12. And in fact, verse 7 of that chapter says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land." And then we see in the following chapter in verse 15, also the Bible says, "For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." So it's in the book of Genesis that we have the first record of God taking Abraham and giving him and his seed the promised land, or the land of Palestine. And my friend, not only did the Lord give Abraham and his seed a land, but he gave them great blessings. In fact, Israel was told that she would have a wonderful future. And I look also at Genesis chapter 13 and also in verse number 16, and the Bible says, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." And so we see here that God had truly blessed Israel. God had blessed the nation of Israel. He blessed Abraham and Abraham's seed. And God made a covenant with Abraham. And he confirmed that covenant with Isaac, his son. And he renewed the covenant with Jacob, his grandson. Not only, my friend, would this race be blessed as a people, but God also said that the nations of the world would be blessed through Israel. In fact, we see and realize that Israel would be a nation of priests unto God. We also see that Israel as a nation were the caretakers, the librarians, the custodians of God's word. There in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says, speaking about the advantage of being a Jew, he says, "Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God." I mean, God gave his word through a race, a covenant race, and they were the caretaker of God's word. Not only were they blessed, and not only were they a nation of priests, not only were their seed be numbered as the dust of the earth, my friend, but the Lord, the Messiah, would come come to the nation of Israel. In fact, we see that in Genesis chapter 22 and in verse number 18. And the Bible says, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. But by the time we reach our text in chapter 49 and verses 1 and 2, we have come to the closing scenes of Jacob's life. I mean, Jacob is about to leave this earthly realm. Jacob is about to leave this earth and enter into eternity, my friend. But here, the man of God, Jacob, in his dying hours, magnifies and exhibits great faith. I'm preaching today faith over circumstance. And I know that in this crowd, in this church, are people today that are hurting, that they seem like they cannot see the end of where they're at. It seems like that the promises of God and the things of this of God have failed them. But my friend, just keep looking up. Just keep having faith in God. And do not be detracted by your circumstance and the places where you are at this moment. My friend, here in chapter 49, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. And gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. And Jacob is exhibiting great faith. And you say, how come, preacher? Because long ago, many years ago, God had promised to give a land, a promised land, the land of Canaan, the land of Palestine, to Abraham and his seed. The covenant was confirmed in Isaac. It was renewed in Jacob. And here now Jacob is on his deathbed, and he is not in Canaan. He's not in the promised land. He's not in the land of Palestine. He's many miles away from it. And in fact, he's in Egypt on his deathbed. Abraham and Isaac, his father and grandfather, had been but strangers and pilgrims. Oh, they owned none of the land of Palestine. They had not yet received it. They did not occupy it. And the only place that they had in the land of Canaan was a burial plot, a graveyard, if you will. And that was a place that was purchased by Abraham and not given to him by God. Not only were Abraham and Isaac, his father and grandfather, this covenant race, this race that God's, this people, the patriarchs that God said he would bless and make of a great race, not only had they not yet claimed hold of the land of promise, but now Jacob, the father of Israel, is on his deathbed. He's about to die, and he's not even in the land of promise. He's far from it. And he's in the land of Egypt. My friend, the Bible tells us that not only were Abraham and Isaac strangers and pilgrims, but Jacob also dwelt with them in tabernacles, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 9. I want to remind you that Jacob was not overwhelmed by circumstance. Jacob did not lose confidence in God. And Jacob did not lose his faith. Jacob did not run from the promises of God, but he finished well. My friend, this morning as we preach on this thought, faith over circumstance, I want to illustrate some things that happens here in chapter 49. You say, my friend, you might say, what happens here? Well, let's take a look at the Word of God. I want to say, first of all, that Jacob was faithful in his gathering. Do you notice what the Scripture says? And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. I mean, here Jacob is on his deathbed. He's about to pass from this earthly realm. Glory. And despite his feebleness, despite his ailments and the fact that he's about to leave this world, his faith is enlarged. And Jacob summons his 12 sons by his bedside, and he's about to leave them with the word of God. Hey, listen, my friend, Jacob did not lose confidence in God. And even though Jacob was not in the land of promise, and even though he was in the land of Egypt, he knew that one day God would fulfill his promises.
Amen.
And then we see not only was Jacob faithful in his gathering, not only was he faithful in following the Holy Spirit, but he was faithful in the fulfillment of the promise. Now, I say it like that because Jacob here, I mean, every blessing and even curse that is pronounced in these upon these 12 sons in Genesis 49, every one of them has significance. Every one of them is important. But perhaps the most important is the one that is given to Judah. And here in this promise that Jacob sees this future day, this fulfillment of this promise was realized in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it was of the tribe of Judah that King David was born. My friend, all rightful Jewish kings and the King of Kings was born of the tribe of Judah. And Shiloh, the peace bringer, was the one who would gather the Jewish people from all countries of the earth. And he will, well, glory. And when he gathers his people together, he will rule and bring peace to all peoples of the earth. That's a future promise that has not yet been realized. But verse 11 records one that's already been fulfilled. And perhaps the most significant to you and I as born again believers this morning, the Bible says that binding his foal unto the vine, and his ashes cold unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. It spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ who would ride into Jerusalem when he walked this earth, and he offered himself as a king, my friend, to his people. But his people received him not, and they crucified him on Golgotha's hill at the lonely cross of Calvary. And the wine was a picture of the blood that ran down our Savior on the cross of Calvary when he died for my sin and for your sin.
Faith in thee till the homeland I shall see. strength is almost gone.
Hold to my hand.
Hold to my hand.
Dear Lord, I pray.
Dear Lord, I pray. Surely thou wilt never forsake. Till in heaven I awake.
Lord, lead me on.
Lord, lead me on from day to day.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now. And as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story written in a way that only Andrew can tell. From early survival and great loss to eventual success in many aspects of his life, Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, It's Always a Struggle, But, by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
In 1926, Newark, New Jersey, had a significantly different street layout compared to modern grid systems, with less organized streets and narrower roads. The streets were primarily paved with cobblestones or bricks, with sidewalks made of concrete or stone. Cars in the 1920s had a vintage appearance, with a boxy shape, large wheels, and prominent front grills. Traffic was less congested. Walking was a prevalent mode of transportation, with sidewalks used by pedestrians and crossing the road often involving looking out for oncoming traffic. Newark had a well-established public transportation system in the 1920s, with electric streetcars and buses being introduced. Road conditions were not as smooth or well-maintained as today, with potholes, uneven surfaces, and dirt roads. Snow removal and road maintenance were not as efficient as they are today. Parking spaces were not as abundant and regulations were not as strict. The specifics of Newark's streets and cars in 1926 may vary, and there might have been ongoing developments or changes taking place during that time. We hope that our amazing time capsule videos have transported you back in time and inspired you to fall in love with history. Follow now and spread the love for the past.
It was a vibrant June day in 1945, and a station in New York City was a hive of activity. The Grand Station, adorned with its timeless architecture, welcomed a diverse crowd of people, each with their own story to tell. The bustling scene was filled with the lively chatter of men and women dressed in their finest attire. A symphony of footsteps echoed through the hall as people walked purposefully, their destinations unknown to the casual observer. Amidst the crowd, there was an air of excitement and anticipation, a feeling that something extraordinary was about to happen. A soldier, perhaps returning from a distant journey, moved with a sense of familiarity, blending seamlessly into the diverse tapestry of the station. Passersby, caught in the lens of a curious camera, turned their heads to observe the unfolding scene. Their expressions ranged from mild curiosity to genuine interest, a reflection of the timeless allure of people watching in a busy transit hub. The camera, guided by an invisible hand, widened its view, revealing a broader panorama of the station. In the distance, families and friends stood eagerly, awaiting the arrival of loved ones. The station buzzed with the energy of reunions, capturing the essence of human connection in a transient space. At the ticketing booth, a line of travelers patiently awaited their turn, clutching tickets that represented the promise of new adventures and shared experiences. To the left and right, people weaved through the station's corridors. Pennsylvania Station, with its timeless grandeur, served as a stage for the myriad stories of those passing through, each person a protagonist in their own narrative, bound for destinations known and unknown. As the camera lingered on the scene, it captured a snapshot of life in New York City Station in June 1945, capturing the essence of a moment when the station was not just a transit point, but a living, breathing canvas of human stories, dreams, and connections.
Standing there beside the sea, he made a way for me. Now I know there are times when the road will get rough, and all of us feel like at times giving up. But remember, my friend, he knows when we've had enough, and he'll make a way for me. Just like old Daniel in the hungry lion's den,
my God
delivered me, just like he did him.
He made a way.
Just like old Moses standing there beside the sea, he made a way for me.
Well, he made a way.
Just like old Daniel in the hungry lion's den,
he made a way.
My God delivered me, just like he did him.
He made a way.
Just like old Moses standing there beside the sea.
Standing there beside the sea,
he made a way
for me. He made a way.
The sea.
He made a way
for me.
He made a
just
way.
Just like old Daniel in the hungry lion's den.
He made a
my
way.
My God delivered me just like he did him.
He made a
just
way.
Just like old Moses standing
there beside the sea.
He made a way.
And friends, remember now that you're not in this fight alone. That's what Patrick Henry said when he gave that address. He said, the fight is not ours alone, but he wanted to say that God is in the mix when he said, give me liberty or give me death, on March the 23rd, 1775. Stand for the right. If we could help you in your area, get in touch with us. We would appreciate it. But until the very next time, this is your friend Andrew Phipps saying, have a great day. God bless you.